Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in exhortation or take pride in stolen goods. So your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken. Two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done.
Sometimes people can be guilty of taking something that's actually quite simple and turning it into something far more complicated than what it actually needs to be. Mechanics, and excuse me, Jane, doctors are sometimes very good at taking simple things and making them complicated. But all we actually want to know from them is, how much is this going to hurt? How much is it going to cost? And how long do I have to wait before it's fixed? You could say to a group of children, yes, some advice for the kids' club leaders, although I probably suggest you don't take it. You could say to the children, children, are you ready? Okay, four words. Or you could say, you could try and complicate it a little bit and say something like, are you a group of young people, both male and female, who are too young to be considered adults? Are you prepared for the following unspecified actions? Children, are you ready? Here's a quick quiz, just because you can challenge the person next to you if you like. I'm going to say a few sayings that have been overcomplicated, just between you and the person next to you if you like, or just by yourself. They'll come up on the screen. So here's the first one. It's fruitless to attempt to indoctrinate a superannuated canine with innovative maneuvers. There we go. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. This one should be easy. The writing implement is more potent than the claymore. Got it? Pen is mightier than the sword. Here's my favorite one, although I think I'm going to struggle to get my mouth around all these words, but here we go. It's fruitless to become lacrimose over precipitatedly departed lacteal. There we go. Did I get at least one or two of those words right? See, doctors and mechanics can be very good at overcomplicating things. But I think we can also be, at times, guilty of complicating our study of the Bible. Now, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't spend time poring over, reflecting and researching passages of Scripture. That's clearly a good and a very helpful thing to do. And we must give thanks to those who have spent time to research the Bible and to help us understand it better. But after we've done the hard yards, let's not make our explanation more complicated than the passage we're trying to understand. And I think the danger with Psalm 62 is that we would complicate, which is rather a brilliant and profound psalm, by perhaps overanalyzing it. It speaks for itself, and I think the best way to understand Psalm 62 is to let it speak for itself. So tonight I'll be reading parts of the psalm over and over again because I want us to hear what the psalmist is saying. And quite frankly, I think he says it better than what I can. David, the author, is essentially saying this. Essentially, the whole way through Psalm 62 is saying, my soul finds rest in God alone because he is strong and he is loving. My soul finds rest in God alone. Verse 1 and 2 says this, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. And David can say that because the Lord God is strong and loving, verse 11 and 12. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. David says, my soul finds rest in God alone, because he is strong and he is loving. That's a message I think many of us, if not all of us, need to know now, or we will need to know in the times ahead. The rest of the psalm all points to this and magnifies this. So our first heading then is my soul finds rest in God alone. We need to remember these are David's words. In the introduction we're told that it is a psalm of David, written for Jeduthun, the director of music. We won't do it now, but if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 25, you could read about his appointment and what his tasks were as a director of music. And it's another great example of the continuity and reliability of the Bible, where one part of the Bible gives us insight into another. It's another way to say that this is all real. It really happened. It's all fact. These are real people in real life situations. It's not just a fairy tale. These are David's words, and he believes it with all his heart. David is an expert at unrest. He knows what unrest is like. David is the original fugitive. We know from the book of Samuel and Psalms that David, in the early part of his life, faced a torrid time of persecution and threat. Saul and his armies were out to get him. David knew what it was like to hold his breath in the shadows and behind rocks as his enemy passed by searching to kill him. See, David knew what it was like to be tired of running. He knew what it was like to have his own children turn against him. David is familiar with pain, which follows him almost like a shadow. And yet David, he can say, my soul finds rest in God alone. It's not that David finds rest in God, but that he finds rest in God alone. God is the only one that can provide him with real rest. The psalm makes this absolutely clear over and over and over again. David's rest is from God, nowhere else. In verse 1, in God alone, salvation comes from him. Verse 2, he alone is my rock. He is my fortress. Verse 5, in God alone, hope comes from him. Verse 6, he alone, he is my fortress. Verse 7, salvation and honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. Verse 8, trust in him. Pour out your hearts to him. God is our refuge. See, do you see that? And do we get it? God alone. Him and him only. David is speaking to himself. And then in verse 8, he turns to others and instructs them to do what he does already. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So you will find rest in God alone. He goes on David to make the point that anything or anything else is not going to give you rest. I haven't got the note. I think it's verse 9. Yes, verse 9. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion, or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. You see, men can't help whether high society or low society. They're nothing. Together they only amount to breath. The Hebrew literally says a vapor. Do you want the protection of vapor? Well, avoid God and go to men. It's about as useless as trying to hide behind a lamppost or the steam from your whistling kettle. Do not trust in things is essentially what David is saying in verse 10. No matter how you get them, whatever riches you have, do not set your heart on them. They will fail you. It's misplaced faith. It's like the student, I don't know if you've seen the classic youth ministry thing, you teach the children to have faith and to trust. So you get somebody to stand up on a chair blindfolded, and his friends line up next to one another holding hands, and the idea is to catch him. And when the leader tells him to fall, he falls forward while everybody's standing behind him. He clearly has plenty of trust, but his trust was misplaced. David warns us that we mustn't make that mistake. We must stop trusting in bank balances or insurance policies for our future security. We must stop trusting on the lock on our front door or our academic results. This one's a bit controversial. Or even our safety belt as we drive. Now, those are all good things to do. I hope you've got those sorts of things in place. God has given us those things to look after us. So please do fasten your safety belt. Don't go home and say the pastor said or the preacher said we didn't have to. Take out an insurance policy. Do those things. But our trust must be in God alone. None of those things can give you 100% reliability. See, your policy may not pay out. That policy that you've been paying into for years and years and years. Something goes wrong and they catch you on something and they don't pay out. Now your seatbelt could fail. But in God alone we can find genuine rest. We don't need to be shaken. See, David wasn't. Verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Rock, salvation, fortress. That is who God is to David. You can imagine David in 1 Chronicles 11 as he's hiding away in the cave as King Saul's men are looking to kill him, and David is sitting there hiding in the cave behind a rock, and he's saying, my salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. God will save me. God will rescue me. God is his rock. And I'm sure David has in mind how God provided Israel with water from the rock in Exodus 17. And how God protected Moses from his glory behind a rock in Exodus 33. God is David's rock, the place of provision and protection. God is his fortress. Now I've heard Christians pray for a hedge of protection. I don't know if that's something you've heard or you've prayed yourself. They pray for a hedge of protection. Now, I know why they do that. Because in Job 1, Satan tells God that the reason Job is so faithful is because God has put a hedge around him to protect him. See, Satan may think a hedge is sufficient. But I think at times, I don't want a hedge. I want a fortress. I want a rock. See, a hedge was good enough for Brer Rabbit, wasn't it? But not for me. I want a fortress. David says, "He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken." He has no need to tremble or to fear. He is rescued by God. Standing on God the rock, in God the fortress, he shall not be shaken. See, when life is hard and the world attacks you and the world thinks that you're weak, like they think of David in verse 3 and 4, and you start to shake, the problem is not the rock. The problem is not the fortress. The problem is your shaking knees. The problem is our shaking knees. You see, nearly like a child terrified of falling out of the bed. You know, you move your child from a cot into a bed and the child is terrified about falling out of the bed. The problem isn't with the railing. The railing has worked and proved itself with your other children. The problem is with the child. The child is actually secure. Verse 3 says, "How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." See, the world looks at David, and to them he looks like a fence built by a two-year-old. It's just about to topple over. It can't keep itself up, let alone defend itself. Maybe David at times believed that the world thought this about him. Maybe he even felt a little bit shaken at times, like a collapsing fence. Because then in verse 5 to 7, David talks to himself and reminds himself of what he already knows. It's like telling yourself there's no need to worry about monsters because monsters aren't real. So you're sitting there going, "Monsters aren't real, monsters aren't real, monsters aren't real." But you're kind of terrified and you're trying to convince yourself. So you say the same thing over and over and over again, slowly trying to convince yourself, telling your heart what your head already knows, instructing yourself. And that's what David does in verse 5. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." And so even David, who says in the start, "I shall not be shaken," even he needs reminding. I need reminding. So we can tell ourselves, put your name here, Grant, find rest in God alone. Don't try looking anywhere else. It's why meditating on and remembering Scripture is so important. Why it's so important for us to teach our children memory verses. It's something I haven't done enough of. But parents, we should be teaching our children memory verses. We should be remembering verses of Scripture as well. We teach them to our children. They might not understand everything. We keep it simple. But we want to teach our children truths that they grow into rather than grow out of. See, memory verses are great reminders to us of what God has done and said to us. We use them to instruct our hearts when our hearts don't believe what our head does believe. In verse 1, David knows that his soul finds rest in God alone. He knows it. But in verse 5, he needs to remind himself. "Find rest, O my soul." David is speaking to himself. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." David's soul finds rest in God alone. And he instructs others to find rest in God alone. You see, if this psalm was being sung by David in theater, then verse 8 would be like David breaking the fourth wall by speaking directly to the audience and saying, "Trust in Him at all times, O people." David is breaking the fourth wall today to speak, and he's speaking to us. "Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." What David does, that's what he goes and tells others to do also. God's people trust in God and Him alone. I'm going to read verse 8 again, and this time I want you to hear it as if the Lord Jesus is speaking these words to you. Because he is. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He is your rock, your mighty rock, your salvation, your fortress, your refuge. Trust him and you shall not be shaken. And we can find rest in him because he is strong and loving. Verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. And that's David's way of saying, I have three things that you really need to hear. One thing God has spoken plus the two things David has heard. Ultimately, God has said three things and I have heard three things. Carrying on from where we left off, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. David's reminding us that God is strong, that God is loving. And that's the reason we can come to him and find rest. He is strong enough to be able to give rest, and he is loving enough to offer it. A God who is powerful enough but unloving may be able to provide rest, but might be unwilling. Or a God who is loving might be willing, but unable. See, these are the kinds of problems nations around Israel faced with their false gods. Gods that were gods that they believed to be strong enough, but were apathetic. Or gods that were compassionate enough, but were actually incapable of helping them. Strong gods that didn't want to help, or loving gods that couldn't. That's not the case with the God of the Bible. That's not the case of David's God. That's not the case of our God, the Lord God. He is strong, he is loving, and he gives rest to his people. In the psalm so far, David has spoken to his own heart. He has spoken to God's people, and he has spoken to those against him. Here he speaks to God, the Lord God. And it's the first time in the psalm that he calls God Lord. It's God's personal name to recall all the promises spoken and kept by God, to recall how he has acted in the past to give his people rest. See, it's the Lord God who created the universe, the Lord God who made a covenant with Abraham, the Lord God who freed his people from Egyptian slavery, the Lord God who provided and fought for his people in the wilderness, the Lord God who brought his people into the promised land, the Lord God who defeated Goliath. David's God that provides rest is the loving and strong God of Israel's past. The strong God who is the fortress and rock is also the loving, relational, covenantal God that provides hope and salvation for his people. And so we come to the last sentence. It's the bit that Paul quotes in his letter to the Romans. It says this, surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. It's on page 794 in the Blue Church Bibles. So far in Paul's letter to the Roman church, he has told them of the devastating situation facing all people, that everyone is under God's wrath and judgment because everyone has rejected him. And now in chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, Paul describes that judgment will be according to our works. Paul says that judgment will be according to our works. Now, I'm sure for some that statement hopefully caused a little bit of warning bells. And that's good, it should. But don't worry, Paul is not saying, and I'm not suggesting, that people can earn their way into heaven. Let's read from verse 6. We'll come back to this in a moment. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. God will give to each person according to what he has done. That's the bit from Psalm 62. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Now, we must read these verses carefully. We must read them in context. Paul is not saying that by doing good we can earn eternal life. His point is not that we are saved by works, but that we are judged by our works because they reveal the underlying attitude of our hearts. See, doing good reveals a right response to God, and following evil betrays a rebellious heart. Our works are like fruit that reveal what kind of tree we are. Apple trees produce apple fruit, apples. God's people produce good works. And this is how David uses it back in Psalm 62. In David's language, what we have done reveals how God will reward us, because what we have done reveals our standing before God. Our deeds are like evidence for or against our standing before God. The reward of rest will only be given to his people. His people are identified by what they have done. See, when we're assaulted by the men of verses 3 to 4, see, have we relied on things or men that are just vapors, like verses 9 to 10 describe? You see, if we have, we will get a fitting reward. No rest. Or have we followed David's instruction to us in verse 8 and his own personal reminder in verse 5 and 6? That our rest is in God alone. If we have, our reward will be rest. You see, David was speaking about rest from hardship and enemies, but at the same time looking forward to how Paul speaks about rest as eternal rest. Paul's point is that only Jesus can give true rest. Yesterday afternoon, I heard something which really, really hurt. It ripped open an old wound of where I was hurt in the past. Not through malice, but mistake. It really, really hurt then. And yesterday that wound was just kind of ripped open again. And I sat last night and I was finishing writing the sermon, and it felt wrong to be writing a sermon when my heart was so distracted and so angry. I sat at my desk and I was just stewing with frustration and just beside myself. And I prayed, Lord, please change my heart. Lord, please heal me here. I opened my eyes again and I read Psalm 62. And I read it again. And as I'm reading through Psalm 62, I'm going, David knows how I'm feeling. And as God as God's inspired word, he knows how I'm feeling. He knows that I was shaken. I felt like a tottering fence. I felt assaulted. So I read verse 1 again. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. But even though I knew that, I still felt shaken. So I reread verse 5 and I said to myself, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. See, David knew it, but needed to remind himself. I knew it and needed to remind myself. There's a good chance this evening that you're feeling shaken about something. Work, health, relationship, or finance, neighbor, studies, bullies at work or at school, or the future. Can you read Psalm 62 and to remind yourself that your soul can find rest in God alone? Your salvation comes from him. He alone is your rock and your salvation. He is your fortress. When you believe that, you shall never be shaken. Find rest in God alone. He is strong and He is loving.